declare his generation. For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. He made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, because he hath done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors. And he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. Thank you, and you may be seated. Tonight we have narrowed the service down at this point to what is most significant. The purpose tonight for this service is to remember what Jesus did for us. The purpose tonight is what God has commanded us to do. God has commanded us that we are to remember what he did for us. In fact, the scripture says it like this: and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner, also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. You know, it's really easy for us to forget. In fact, I believe that forgetfulness is a good thing. It's probably good that we forget some things. You know, it seems like we're always struggling, and the older you get, you really struggle with trying to remember things. But can you appreciate the things that you forget? I mean, you have to think about, isn't it wonderful you forget certain things in your life? But there's some things we should never forget. And this is one of them. You never want to forget what Jesus did for you. When you do, your life becomes slipshod. In fact, the truth of the matter is, have you ever thought about this? We live the gospel out every day. Every day we live out the gospel. You see, we have the idea that the gospel is something that we made a choice about, whatever day and time in which we put our faith and trust in Christ, and that's the gospel. We see it that it was an event of the past, and it's something that we did. For me, it's October 22nd, 1972, so it will be soon 40 years. But let me tell you that the gospel is lived out every day in your life. But I want to ask you this. When's the last time you ever just stopped and meditated on what Jesus did for you? When's the last time? When's the last time you ever just set aside in your prayer, not so much to ask God for things, or not so much to try to get God to do something for you, to make your world better. But when's the last time you thought about what he did for you? I wonder when's the last time our church has really set aside just a service like we are tonight, that we just might remember what he did, that we might meditate on him tonight, that we meditate on what he did for us. There's songs that we sing in our songbooks that we're most familiar with, like the old rugged cross, like at Calvary, We hear about those songs. We sing them. But we don't sing them, I fear, with much meaning. They're just sort of rote songs that we have learned over years, and we just kind of like, I really like that song, and we sing it, but do we really know what that means? It's kind of like when I was a teenager growing up, I remember my neighbor, who she had her baby, our first baby, and she was so excited to come over and sharing that with us and what that meant to have that baby. As a teenage boy of 14, I could care less. All I thought about was another rug rat to ruin my neighborhood. But as an adult, having a child, my first child, now I can appreciate what it means. You know, as a Christian, we should be able to appreciate what it means to know Christ, to meditate on Him, to think about Him. Not about Calvary Baptist Church, not about now the ladies' retreat, not about what's going on tomorrow, not about what's going to happen after the service tonight, but think on Him. Meditate on what He did. That's our purpose tonight. That's what this service is about. This service is to meditate on the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. The greatest event in the history of our world. The greatest event. Bar none, there's no greater event. The cross makes all the difference. And what substantiated the cross, and I want to make sure that we add to the cross the resurrection. For the time period from the crucifixion to the resurrection, we have the greatest historical event ever in the history of this world. And how little do we really think about what that means? And so tonight, we're going to change that in this service. We want to just look at what God has to say in His Word in Isaiah 53. I don't know about you, but just reading Isaiah 53 is most convicting. When I think about what Isaiah 53 means, it does not mean that simply Jesus died, but it becomes very personal. It's very practical. It's very relevant, for it affects you and me tonight. It affects how we live every day. Because without Jesus Christ, without the crucifixion, without the burial, without the resurrection, you and I, we have no hope. Otherwise, we would be down at some other religious place, perhaps bowing down to some human-made idol that does nothing for us. There wouldn't be a church. We wouldn't need a church. We wouldn't need a Bible because the Bible lied to us. But the fact is that what He did 2,000 years ago, He fulfilled the prophecy, but also He provided for you and me the life that you and I enjoy every day. Every day. We live the gospel every day. We live what He did every day. It's an astounding thought. And so tonight, as we remember Him, I want you to think with me very carefully what that means. Well, in Isaiah 53, God gives us three remembrances. I want to give them to you because I think if we look at them in prophecy form, as we look at the remembrances, and while we're on the other side of the cross looking back, we say, praise God for what He did. Number one, I want you to think about this. Remember His painful suffering. The writer tells us about His suffering. There was emotional suffering, and certainly in verse number 4, did you notice? Surely He hath borne our griefs. He took our emotions. He took the pain and the suffering. And I don't think any of us in this room would deny the fact that our world is filled with emotional griefs and sufferings. I mean, we face them. We get phone calls, and I don't know what it is, but, you know, and I try not to be a worrier. I struggle with that. I'm asking God. I know that God is able, but somehow between knowing in my heart what it is and then my emotions, and I can't sometimes get them, and so they get out of sync sometimes, and I find myself worrying. And in fact, when I get the phone call, I always worry what is on the other side of the phone. Only because I know of all the griefs and the heartaches and the difficulties and what people have faced. And I think of the other day, it was so strange. The other day I was driving down the road and I saw an estate sale, and it pointed right to a house where one of my members lived. And I had to drive by just to make sure they didn't die and I didn't know about it. And I know that sounds a little bit irreverent and maybe funny, but I really did, because I hadn't seen him in a while. And it would break my heart to think that way. But we all face these griefs. We all face these difficulties. We all face that. But can I remind you tonight that Jesus bore them on the cross for us? I don't know. I read, you know, the Bible says that when Jesus died on the cross and they pierced his side, that water and blood came out of the side. I don't know how true it is, and I read several different viewpoints of what people thought, because all we really have are writings. We don't have pictures. We do not have video of what took place on that day. We have eyewitnesses, and we have, of course, God's divine inspired revelation. But there, as it says, the water and the blood that came out of his side, we try to understand what that is. And it's believed that Jesus, when he died, he did not simply, as he died, only we know that he gave up the ghost, the Bible says. He said, it is finished. Thank God. When he says finished, that means for all of eternity it's finished. But the blood that came out of his side that he shed for us, and the water, what does the water signify? A broken heart. Jesus' heart was broken. And the point of the matter is, he suffered emotionally for us. He took it for you and me. And I don't know why he would do that, but he did it because he loves us. It's an amazing thought. That's who Jesus is. Tonight, we're not talking about some man that evolved to become a god. We're not talking about somebody that's just a man. We're not talking about some revolutionary that came on the planet 2,000 years ago, it kind of stirred up the ancient world. We're talking about God incarnated in human form, who suffered emotionally for us. We're talking about Jesus Christ, who suffered physically for us. In verse number 5, the Bible said he was wounded for our transgressions. In fact, let me tell you how bad he was. You go back to chapter 52, please. Perhaps maybe you've never read it in this context. Go back to chapter 52 and look at what verse number 13 says. Made a comment about his suffering, and what it says in Scripture is this: behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. As many were astonished at thee, his visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. So shall he sprinkle many nations. The kings shall shut their mouths at him, for that which had not been told them shall they see. That which they had not heard shall they consider. It is believed that when Jesus Christ, by the time they were done beating him and scourging him that literally his sides were gaping open. Marks and the bruises all over his body. To the point where he didn't even look like a man anymore. He was so marred. His visage to the place where they gasped at even the sight of him. But yet he was the one that carried the cross. And in fact, he carried it only so far and had to have someone to help him because he was in his weakened condition from his physical suffering. That's Jesus. That's what he did for you. As we meditate on him and meditate on the moment, and sometimes I think we almost carry the cross, and I know that we carry it around with great reverence and respect. Don't misunderstand me. But I wonder if we realize how awful the cross was. And the Bible said that we're to remember his painful suffering, and that's why the prophet wrote it for us. I read one time a man was writing, and he was talking about this very thing, and he says, you know, I don't see in the Bible where we should ever glamorize the suffering of Jesus. I'm thinking, why don't you read Isaiah 53 and perhaps maybe you'll rethink your thinking there. God put it there for us to understand this is how much he loves you. And this is how ugly sin is in our world. And this is why sin had to be dealt with so awful, because it was so bad that God sent his son to suffer like he did for us. And that's also a reflection of how awful hell is. Because a person that would reject the suffering that was paid for by them will have to suffer their own punishment in hell. And that's a horrible thought, that someone would have to suffer that way. That's what Jesus did for you and me. Verse number 6, the Bible said that God also were to remember from this passage his purposeful suffering. I mean, after all, he suffered for a purpose. And that was because of our sinfulness. He bore our sins. You realize tonight that means that you take all the sin in the world and you place it on the back of Jesus, both past, present, and future. He bore all of that sin on him. He became our substitute, if you would. I've thought about this so many times, and I thought about how many people we have in our world. Does anyone know what is the total now? 6.5 billion, is that about right? Is that what we're looking at, somewhere like that? Seven? Are we getting closer to seven now? 7 billion people. Think about this. If 7 billion people only sinned one time, that'd be 7 billion sins. If they only sin one time. Now let's suppose that they only sin one time and we put all of that on the back of Jesus. How many of you agree with me that'd still be a heavy load to carry, wouldn't it? That's all living beings right now if they only sin once. But knowing sinners like I know sinners, I do not believe it was restricted to one time. Knowing sinners like I know sinners, and knowing sinners like I am one, I know I sinned more than one time. How many of you would agree with me? We've all sinned many times. Amen. You know what it says? They took all of that sin and they put it on his back. And not only the living, but all of those from the past who have sinned. We're talking about Nimrod and all those others that have sinned, all in the past, both biblical and on those we don't even know anything about, all of their sin of the past, and all of the sinners that will be born in the future, and all those who are alive today, they placed all of that on the back of Jesus for a purpose, so that they do not have to suffer for their own sin. That's why Jesus did it. So they can be forgiven. The Bible said that he had a purpose. But thirdly, I want you to notice in the passage in verse 10 and 11, these two verses are amazing. You might have missed them, but let me show them to you. I want you to get what I meant as we read through them and what the meaning is. In verse number 10, the Bible said, "Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him." Now, when I first read that as a young Christian, I didn't understand how it could please the Lord to bruise his own son. Now, I could understand that as a parent if it pleased you when you have to spank your children, if correction is in order and that's what we're trying to do to help them to do right. I can understand that. But I do not understand how it could please God to bruise his own son for the sins of somebody else. But that's God's plan. That's what God did. God's son paid the price for everybody else. And God looks down and he says, "It pleases me." And what it pleases him was the fact that God, the son, fulfilled the plan of dying on the cross. And in verse number 11, notice what it says. "He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied." That means the wrath of God is now taken care of, because what he had done is he obeyed the will of God. Where there's one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself to be as a ransom to be testified in due time. He satisfied the wrath of God, and now, through Jesus Christ, God the Father is no longer angry. He satisfied his wrath. That's why we read 1 John 2, verse 2, when it says this, "He is the propitiation," that's the word satisfaction, "for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world." He satisfied it. In other words, that when God looked down and he saw that Jesus died on the cross, he fulfilled the entire plan of God, and when he was crucified, the last words he said, "It is finished, telestai." They took him down, they put him into the tomb, and he rose again the third day. God said, "I'm satisfied." Amen. Now God's people can be forgiven. Thank God for that tonight. Amen. What we're remembering tonight is we're not remembering a religion or a denomination. We're not remembering some philosophy of man. We're remembering what God did for the sins of the whole world. We are meditating on Jesus. And I want to tell you this. When you meditate on what he did and living out the gospel every day in your life, sin will have no attraction to you. Sin will mean nothing to you. To capitulate on Christ and what he's done for you. And I want to tell you something, somehow or another, you know, for me, I think of this, Jesus went all the way to the cross and he died for me. He suffered so awful and so ugly that how in the world could I ever, ever forsake he who died for me? How could I ever not want to live for him? How could I ever not want to tell others about him? I cannot understand how Christians can just simply ignore all that he's done for them. Look, tonight, I want you to remember what he did. Remember the crucifixion and meditate on him tonight. Let's pray.